From the Best at Sea Radio Studios in sometime sunny Central Florida, here now with all of today's cruise and travel news and a bit of commentary, it's the guru of the seas himself, Tom Drake.
Thank you, BJ, and welcome on a Tuesday morning, everybody. I am Tom Drake, and this is my partner, my chaperone, and that guy. And it is early, really early Tuesday morning, and I just got done reading the mailbag. Lots of things going on in the mailbag. The email address is thedrakepodcast@gmail.com, thedrakepodcast@gmail.com. It brings smiles to my face. One person loves that opening. Another person used the words overblown. I can't wait to tell BJ, you overblown voice, you. Anyway, it's all part of tweaking and adjusting and trying to make this whole operation a little more professional. By the way, a little programming note. This is a 30-minute tops podcast today. The expansion of the podcast is in progress. It involves some things. And also some people that agree with me yesterday when I said that show needs a little bit more prep. They said, yes, it does. So until I get the situation straightened out where I can spend 6 hours prepping for this, it'll be 30 minutes until the end of the week. And then when I get on the ship next week, it will expand because we'll be doing those little interviews and some other odds and ends and things that I have in mind. Anyway, once again, the podcast is the Drake podcast. The email is the Drake. I'm just going straight through today. I'm laughing. I should never read this stuff before I go on to the podcast. I love it. I love the feedback. I really do. I don't get it on the ship. You know, when I finish a show on the ship, once in a while, someone will come up and tell me, I heard that joke, you know. Even though I announced the joke is 100 years old and someone gave it to me. I love it. Anyway, appreciate it. Keep it coming. Lots of stories. My goodness. It will be mailbag Saturday. No, it'll be mailbag Friday this week. That's right. There is no Saturday podcast this week because my butt is on the road. As you know, the world tour begins May 1st. Coming up Monday, 25 countries, thousands of nautical miles, a lot of adult beverages, quite a few dinners with guests, a very busy time coming up from Mumbai to New York City. The podcast goes on the road before. Also, I was up early this morning. You can hear it in my voice. I haven't woke up yet. Crazy. Maybe I'll start doing this thing at night after a few pops, after a couple hours of martinis. Let's see how that works out. I was online this morning because I'm flying United to Newark on Friday, and they asked me if I wanted to choose my breakfast. And I'll be happy to know it wasn't all vegan stuff or save the world stuff. It was your basic Belgian waffle with a little blueberry something compote. I don't really don't know what compote is. It sounds really exotic. I think it's just, isn't it just like jelly? I don't know. Do I sound intelligent this morning? Anyway, very happy. United's a good airline. I'll say that because they saved my bacon last year going to Lisbon, Portugal without the guys at the United operation here in Orlando. Oh, marriage might have been in tatters there. The wife was desperate to go to work. Me, I could care less. We have a busy show. Jack Anderson taking a leave of absence from Crystal Cruises. I don't know if that's important to anybody, really. The Vista's coming out. Oceana Vista coming out, and they've chosen a company to hand to. How do I say this? They're going to have a cask of whiskey just for Oceana Vista. Your own cask of whiskey, and that's interesting just because the company that they chose. Big piece, I believe, in Travel Weekly on Malta. The biggest fluff piece I've ever seen in Malta. A couple of minutes to talk about that. The rabbit cruise line, you know what that one is? See, I should have been up earlier. The prep means I should have a rabbit sound. What sound do rabbits make anyway? I have a duck. A rabbit sound. The rabbit cruise line is MSC. Again, another ship going through sea trials, and we'll talk about sea trials in the Bay of Biscay. You want to get your ass geared off. Take a ride to the Bay of Biscay when it is rough. I've done it. NCL Holdings, guess what? I'll play some music because they just issued what they're going to do going forward to be net zero. Not net zero in business, net zero in emissions by 2050. And a quick talk about surprise inspections. For people that don't cruise a lot and not aware of this, the cruise industry, especially in the United States, is anally probed on an annual basis. Everybody wants to get involved in the cruise industry, more so than it ever happens. At any restaurant you walk into, anywhere in the country, they might have a health inspection if there's a complaint. They claim they do it. And if they do, they come and they go and they get a free lunch and they get the hell out of there. What the cruise industry undergoes is quite strict, and you should feel safe about that. Let me clear something up, too. I was going to do this in mailbag. I mentioned I'm not a big fan of year-round cruising out of New York City. That's year-round. I think it's fine to sail out of New York City in the summer and in the fall, but, as we say in Jersey, hey, marron, you know what I mean? February, March, are you crazy? The weather is terrible. But then again, if you live in Jersey, you'll pretty much put up with anything to get the hell out of Jersey in March. But I do think it's great to sail out of New York City to Bermuda and the fall foliage. You watch leaves drop. You know, again, if you're the first time listening to the podcast, I have a cynical approach to a lot of cruising. A lot of people pay a lot of money to go up towards New England and into Canada to look at leaves that they have in their backyard, but they just seem much better from the pool deck when you're paying $2,000 a day. Interesting story before I roll the music. The other day I talked about Georgia Mountain Cabin Rentals, right? So, and the reason I was talking about it is because I had lunch with my neighbor, Scott, the day before Earth Day. He was talking about going to the mountains. He goes to the Blue Ridge Mountains and he stays in one of these cabins, Georgia Mountain Cabin Rentals. I have to keep working on it. So anyway, I talk about it. I'm just having some fun with it. I'm kind of, you know, whatever. And Scott was listening to it, and Scott forwarded to the people from Georgia Mountain Cabin Rentals, and they enjoyed the podcast, Small World, and they're going to be one of my sponsors. How about that? Not only that, they are very brilliant people up there. If you didn't hear me talk about them, it is a family-owned business. They've grown up in that area. They know that area. I'm not doing a commercial right now. I will eventually, because I've had a chance to interact a little bit. You know, when you book Vrbo, you know, Vrbo is one owner. A guy bought some place, and he goes there a few weeks of the year, and then he rents out it the rest of the time. This is different. They have a huge, not library, catalog of cabins, from the budget cabins to the most luxurious. And they grew up in that area. They know the area. They're experts in the area. That's my point. As opposed, I'm not knocking Vrbo. That's his place, but if you've ever thought about going to the mountains to get away, and lately, why not? The Blue Ridge Mountains. But here's what's even why I love these guys already. Because when it was suggested that they be a sponsor, it's something called affiliate marketing. I've talked about it in the past. It's very big in the internet business. The points guy makes a mint off that. When you read one of the articles in the Points Guy podcast, you see a million little pop-ups. And anywhere you go, it's pop-up this and pop-up that. It's the Viagra advertising. Point being, that's what it would be if people listen to me talk about the Georgia, I got to practice this. I'll tell you what we're doing in a second. The Georgia Mountain Cabin Rentals, if you decide to do something, there would be a few shekels come back to this program. But they came up with the idea of creating a web address that would redirect to their website. And the address is www.quackcabins.com. He listened to the podcast. He listened to this. He said, the easiest way to get people interested in getting away to the Blue Ridge Mountains and stay in this gorgeous part of Georgia is it's not ready yet. Don't go yet. All right. They're working on it. I'm just setting it up, just like the expanded podcast, which will require more prep. It's a work in progress, but I just thought that was hilarious. www.quackcabins.com. Cabins.com. Not ready yet. I'll let you know when. I'll tell you all about it. And again, it all started because my neighbor loves it up there. And I won't say he's high maintenance, but he likes what he likes. You know, when he's on Holland America, he's in the Pinnacle Suite or wherever it is, you know. This is not a Motel 6 guy. And when he tells me it's really great and he loves going there, just get away and on the porch, on the water, and, you know, just hear the birds chirp and whatever. You don't hear gunshots, especially if you're from Chicago. Anyway, www.quackcabins.com. Hilarious. Boom, boom, boom. More prep, damn it. They're right. That's what's so. I just been crazy. It'll get better. Hang in there. It's a short one today. Hey, you know, whatever. You've heard that before. It's a short one today. We're staying under 30, so don't panic. You don't have to worry. If you have somewhere to go, that's anything is more important than this podcast. And a reminder, you don't have to listen to this thing all at once. You can download it. Don't be afraid of this. That's what made podcasts so popular. You listen to it at your own convenient time. So you can go on any of the sites and download it and listen to it later. And again, I've said this before, my friend Richard Kaufman, Dick Kaufman, he's in Washington, D.C., one of the great guys. He's responsible for this. He kept beating up on me. You need a podcast. You need a podcast. I said, Dick, you can't make any money. You waste a lot of time. And here I am. Now I don't have just one. I have the 5 days a week, as you know, just five now, Monday through Friday. Expanded version starting next week when we're on the road. So you can download it and you can find it anywhere. You can find it anywhere just by typing in Tom Drake's Daily Cruise and Travel News podcast and download it and listen to it at your leisure. There you go. Jack Anderson was the president of Crystal prior to its collapse. He's not responsible for the collapse. This is not funny. This is just information. I'll be doing that for 30 minutes. Get it right. There were no jokes. There's still no jokes today. I'm busy packing. It'll get better. Hang in there. It's like when you first get married and your wife can't cook worth a damn, you just keep eating and someday the meal tastes good. Yeah, it might take a little while. Maybe you want to order out right now and listen to Joe Rogan. But anyway, Jack Anderson was running Crystal, but then Lim Kok Tay, the Malaysian billionaire who refused to save the companies that he was destroying, decided to fold it up because of the pandemic, and he walked away from everything, partly because the ships were on a lease back at that point. He didn't have a lot at stake, and he had a lot of money that and people still rent him. They still lease him ships, and they still give him stuff. It's amazing what rich people can get away with. But anyway, Jack Anderson was the president of Crystal when it was previously owned by Genting Hong Kong, and it collapsed. And he went that way, and then Manfredi Lefebvre and Jeffrey Kent, they grabbed it during bankruptcy, and the name and two ships, and restarted it. Now, Jack Anderson announced that he's taking a leave of absence for personal reasons, but he will be back for the launch. Did you care? I mean, I hope he's okay. It was a health reason, whatever, but who cares? I mean, I guess inside the industry it cares, but do you have to issue a press release and tell the whole industry, Jack's taking some time off. Where did he go? We don't know. We can't tell you. It's none of your business. It's either HIPAA or ZIPA or zip it up. I don't know. But anyway, if you care, he will be back for the launch of the Crystal ships in July and September. And I see now all of the former officers are returning to Crystal. And also a very, very funny comedian, John Joseph, announced on Facebook yesterday that he will be on the inaugural. How do you do this? The ship is 27 years old, 22 years old. It is the first. The rebirth, you know, the rise from ashes of Crystal. John Joseph will be, and I'm sure it's going to be they're all going to be their friends. They've been selling on Crystal forever. That's how they do things over there. I've never worked there. I don't feel slighted by it. I've always had a job, but I'd be interested to see how bad I could do over there. There would probably be, I'd probably be on stage doing jokes and people in the audience going, more prep. You need more prep. I can't argue that point. Oh, gosh. I'm in a good mood because in a couple more days, I won't be in charge of the cat in the house. Cat in the house, not cat in the hat. Cat in the house. Oceania Cruises, they're launching the Vista, big new beautiful ship. The godmother is the chick from the Food Channel. Was that sexist? What's wrong with you, Tom? What is wrong with you? I don't know. I'm out of control. I couldn't even find the button. I forget her name now. She's from the Food Channel. She's very, very successful. Harry Connick will be singing there. He'll be performing at the christening in Malta. In Malta. He'll be there. I believe it's in Malta. It is Malta. It's a big deal. So now they've decided to, they've commissioned a whiskey bottler to create a one-of-a-kind cask, C-A-S-K. You have to be very careful. Leave the E-T off there. That would be for Holland America. Holland America for the new ship is having a casket commission. Come on, tell me that's not funny. Huh? This is off the cuff, down the sleeve, behind the sock. Anyway, here's the thing. They've commissioned a company. It's a startup company. I mean, it's only been around for a few years. They don't actually do make whiskey. They don't distill whiskey. They go and discover whiskeys, and they create casks, you know, barrels. And they put it in specific barrels that will age the whiskey even further. So we're not talking about, it's a single malt. We're not talking about Glenlivet or whatever the Glens are. This is a multiple Glens. I'm not a Scotch guy. But the name of the company, I can't make this up. The name of the company is Chapter 7 right now. I don't know if there's any superstition in the cruise industry, but ordering a cask of whiskey for a company that's named after a complete liquidation of your assets seems like a really risky move. I mean, I think I understand where they were going with this. First of all, they were probably drunk. This is they're a Scottish company. I don't know if Chapter 7 is the same in Scotland as it is in the United States. But in the United States, if you go Chapter 7, that's a full liquidation. So maybe they're tying in liquid with liquidation, and they thought that was a very, very, you know, very good thing. Now, here's what I suggest. If you're going on the Oceana Vista, since they have this cask of Chapter 7 whiskey, go to the bar and ask for, can I get a shot of that bankrupt booze, right? When the bartender goes, what? The bankrupt booze, you guys got the bankrupt. He won't get it. He's from India. But just say, and then you finally tell him Chapter 7. He still won't get it because only people in the United States, maybe, I don't know. Again, more prep. If I would have looked this up, maybe in Canada, but I don't need to. All I have to do is put it out on the podcast. I don't know, Chris, if Chapter 7 is the same in Canada as it is in the United States. And I know what you're thinking. The way you operate, you're probably familiar with Chapter 7. Yeah, might have been 7, might have been 11. There's been a few chapters in my life, you know? Anyway, the company is called Chapter 7, and just 304 bottles will be drawn from the cask. And they will be available for purchase by guest. Oh, all right. You have to buy a bottle. More prep. They want to sell you a bottle of this. All right. Does this flip anybody's switch? I mean, I keep asking for more logo wear. I didn't really ask for logo whiskey. And you know what's kind of strange? They don't sell. They don't have a liquor store on Oceana. Please. Are you serious? We don't have a liquor store. We're not about duty free. If you're on Oceana to get cheap liquor, you're on the wrong cruise line. That's what I'm going to tell you. Anyway, so you can get a bottle of a bankrupt booze. That's what they ought to call the damn stuff. Oceana Cruises presents bankrupt booze, Chapter 7 whiskey. See, you know what? Some days I'm thinking. Some days it's all coming together. Some days it's all happening. All right, I don't know if this is even worth talking about, because you know, I do look at everything going, how can I make this funny? And then I go do the rest of my housework. So the point of all this is Malta. It was in Travel Weekly, 4 pages about Malta is Europe's next hotspot, and here's why. This is the guru's shortened cliff notes version. It's very nice there. The waterfront there was all redone. Not redone. It was done. I've been going there for close to 30 years. And Malta looks like what you always envision Europe to be, with the Crusades and all that stuff. The waterfront is gorgeous. Some say that they improved it. Some say they destroyed it. The entire waterfront where we dock in Valletta was redone with all stores and shops and restaurants. One, it's tchotchkes and food and tchotchkes and food. But at least they put it all in the front. Interior Malta, I don't do geography. I don't do history. But it is a gorgeous place to visit. And they do have your basic forts and churches. They have 305 churches in Malta. And I say this many, many times, always in my show. If you travel around the world, you're either going to see mosques, temples, synagogues, churches, ruins, pretty much covers it. Depends on where you go in the world. In Malta, you're going to see a lot of churches. Where we're going to be going in Asia, we're going to see a lot of temples. We're going to lots of temples. In fact, they canceled, I mentioned in the past, they've canceled Miramar because it's not safe, and that is the Bagan temples, and that's why people go there. So Malta, according to this young person, Felicity Long, wonder if that's her real name. You think? I don't know. I suppose. It's a nice, better name than Tom Drake, anyway. Felicity says, before the pandemic, I had my money on Malta being the next blockbuster European destination. Look out, Croatia was my thinking. All right, now what she's saying there, again, this is the guru part of this podcast. There are many people that listen to this. They're world travelers. They are ahead of me on all of this. Many haven't. Croatia was one big surprise to me. It really was, as is Montenegro. That Adriatic water, the sea there is beautiful. The people in Croatia all speak English very well. The food there is amazing. The walled city is tremendous. Split is beautiful. Dubrovnik is beautiful. Croatia is just a gorgeous country. It really is. And she's saying that, you know, I didn't realize that that was the hot spot. I'm learning just the way you're learning. But she's saying Malta's next. And why wouldn't it be, according to Felicity Long? And if you've ever had your Felicity Long, you know that could be, it requires medical treatment. The destination is a lot going for it. It's including its status as the European Capital of Culture in 2018. Its Mediterranean location, it's only 120 miles from Sicily, and there are a whole lot less pickpockets in Malta. Well, maybe, you know, the ratio is like 3-1, 4-1. I've never been pickpocketed anywhere. No one's ever come close. They didn't even try. It's booming popularity as a cruise destination. That's an issue you're going to find out. A lot of ships are going there now. It's becoming like St. Thomas. And when you get off the ship, what do? You actually walk through what is a tunnel of duty-free stores. And then from there, you have to get either walk all the way to the top. It's on a hill. Or you have to get transportation up. And then you go around and you check things out. She's a little over the top with it. It's popular like Paris. I guess so. I mean, look, when I go there, I get off and I walk to the duty-free store. And sometimes I go up by the bus station. It's busy and have something to eat. But if you're interested in a new place, Malta is certainly would classify as a new fun place. 21 minutes and 55 seconds into this podcast. We are staying under 30 today because we require, guess what, more prep. All right. The rabbit. Hold on a minute.
You're a moron.
I am the rabbit. I'm thin-skinned. Every comedian is thin-skinned. And so is BJ when I tell him his opening is overblown. I like the opening staying. It's going to change, though, because obviously I'm leaving on a Friday, and I won't be in sometime sunny Central Florida. I will be in supposedly some exotic location around the world. MSC, you know, I was going to, again, I was supposed to get up early and find some new sound effects. Pretend I'm doing the sound effect from Jaws. Dun, 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 dun. That's MSC coming. MSC coming to the United States. They are coming after the U.S.-based cruise lines in a big, big way. When I say U.S.-based, they are. They're based in Miami or Seattle or in Santa Clarita. And, you know, Cunard's on the other side of the water trying to figure out what, you know, if you followed yesterday's podcast, the QM2 canceled their crossing from Southampton to New York the day of the cruise. They now just canceled the second one. It's down for two 7-day cruises. Whatever technical glitches, it was a bigger glitch than they thought. And, you know, certainly if you have a big glitch and you have a big problem and you need somebody to give you a big part, they're missing a big part, or maybe it's in their software, or maybe, you know what, they ran out of tea. Who knows? MSC has another ship coming out. It's called the Eurybia. I go crazy. Why can't it just be whatever, the Venture or something? Why does it have to be names that Americans continue to torture? Eurybia. Eurybia sounds like something you get a transplant of, or you strain. I strained my Eurybia, and I'm taking some shots for it, but I might have to have a complete replacement. You could probably tell people, you know, you get a drunk guy at a bar and you limp up and he goes, what's going on? Man, I tore the hell out of my Eurybia. He goes, really? I go, yeah. And you could probably lead with, I know I'd fall for it. I'd say, where's the Eurybia? It's right near the tibia. and below the fibula. It's in the middle. It's the Eurybia. It's like the European version of the ibia. Who knows? Is that prep? Anyway, it's a big mother coming out, and it is a really an extended version of the Mirabilia. The Mirabilia is the one that's sailing in New York. It's a big mother, 5,500 guests. I've sailed on it. Yes, I have, because I make a living telling jokes. I don't make a living at this, unless you book a cabin. If you book a cabin, I might get a couple of pennies. It just underwent a day, just under, it went through this thing called the sea trial. 4 days of sea trials, and I've told this story before. What they do to that ship is inhuman, although it's not human, because the marine engineers designed this by computer, and they hope like hell they got it right. In other words, the size, the dimensions, the weight, where things are located, will the ship fall over if it has to turn in a hurry? And I have, believe me, where are we at? 25 minutes. I'm on the Norwegian Dream. Now, this is not funny. This is just real life story. This is what the guru is about. Whatever. I'm on the Norwegian Dream after it had been stretched and a new section put in, and they had not increased its power when it came to bow thrusters. Ships are tall, and the wind wreaks havoc on them when they want to. And we are trying to come out of Villefranche. It is an enclosed bay in France. And we are trying to get through the entrance, which is rocks on one side, rocks on the other. And it's a very good size entrance. It's a wonderful entrance. As entrances go, it's a very good entrance. It has a nice view. The problem is the Norwegian Dream refuses to cooperate. There are not tugs in the Bay of Villefranche. It's not one of those places where you can order a tug. Or if there were any nearby, the company wasn't going to spend any money. This was under the Limcock Thay when they owned NCL. I believe it was in Closter. So it doesn't matter. I'm on the bridge because in those days I was allowed to do anything because it was a different time. And I lived on bridge deck, so why wouldn't I be on the bridge? So I'm on the bridge. We're sailing out of Villefranche. And Captain Robert Tegger cannot get this son of a to stay straight. The wind is blowing it to the right, whatever the hell that is, and blowing it right towards the rocks. Literally right towards the rocks. And I'm watching this, and he's screaming, more bow thrusters, do this. When I tell you that we squeaked out of there, we snuck out of there, we get out of there like a burglar in a hurry, we just made it on the other side. That ship would not have passed sea trials. They should be sea trials after they do these kind of things, like cut it in half. But the Eurybia went through 4 days in the Bay of Biscay. Once again, guru knowledge, when you're sailing places, the North Sea, the Bay of Biscay, around Cape Horn, the Atlantic Ocean from New York, Bermuda in the summer, do the words kick your ass ring a bell? You bring everything you have, the wristbands, the things you put behind your ear, whatever pills you take. Ships move. The ocean is very, very powerful. In any case, this new ship, the Eurybia, is an LNG. That's liquid natural gas. I've talked about it before. The desire to save the world by Tuesday. And MSC has hitched their ship. They've tied their horse. What other bad staying? Say they are all about the fact that they are going to be totally green. Hopefully, they have a lot of money anyway. They are beyond green, from what I gather. And they're privately owned. So you really never know if they make a bad decision because the stock doesn't tumble. Point being, they think that people book a cruise because they in the future, people will book a cruise because the ship is saving the planet. Hogwash, whatever other words you want to use there. I don't think that at all. I think Americans, I don't want to say what I think, because that's not the purpose of this, really. It's just information. This is an informative situation. But it is a mega ship, and it features a lot of many new upgrades, along with a focus on green technology, as evidenced by the use of clean burning liquefied natural gas. And that is one of the ways that the industry will. And I applaud the industry for that. I just get sick of hearing about it. I really do. I would rather hear about whether the food's going to be any good. I think I told you I was buying a jacket at Men's Warehouse, and I was talking to the manager, and he was on Raw Caribbean, and the kids loved it. I said, how was the food? He goes, I lost 4 pounds. So let's put the emphasis where the emphasis should go. 28 minutes, 56, I'm near 30 minutes. Anyway, the MSC Eurybia will be in Europe. Again, MSC, it comes up all the time. People are sending me texts and leaving me messages. What about it? I've worked on it. It's a massive cruise line. They're fixing their language issues because there's too many languages, and supposedly they're fixing their service issues. In the meantime, it was built in France, and I'm a big fan. You know, I bust the French because they don't work that hard. They're rioting now because they don't want to work another 2 years, but they built good ships. It was built in Saint-Nazaire, Chanticleer, the Atlantique shipyard, and so if you're thinking about MSC, you couldn't get hurt with the Eurybia, but go in the yacht club. Go in the yacht club, baby. That's where you want to go. All right, we had a story left, but I'm not going to do it. We're staying tight today. 29 minutes, 44 seconds. This is the Daily Cruise and Travel News Podcast. You'll probably hear the word daily dropped, or you won't hear it, because I made a big deal out of the fact that daily is 6 days a week, and this podcast will now annoy you 5 days a week. Upwards of 55 minutes per day, but not yet. The expanded, what was the one besides Viagra? There was Viagra, and right now the old guys are yelling out the answer right now. But there's another one. Anyway, that's who I should have as a sponsor now that I've expanded. Ridiculous to end with that, don't you think? But I wanted to use it one more time. Have a good Tuesday. I'll be back tomorrow, hump day. I'll be back with a prepped up show, but absolutely with the same opening, you know. I like that music, but I like the feedback. I do appreciate it. Now, I've been married 3 times. I've been a comedian for years. The idea that I might listen to anybody is probably a long shot, but I will. And we make changes. We want it to be popular. And I want to say thanks to the people from the Georgia Mountain Cabin Rentals taking a chance on the program. We'll have that up and running next week. And I teased about Diamonds International as a sponsor, and that's starting to heat up. I might be telling you about a company that has 125 locations. I wear their jewelry. My wife wears their jewelry. They've been around 50 years, and that'll be pretty cool if they come on board. That'll give me even more credibility, and everybody out there is going, you need something. All right, I'll see you tomorrow. Nobody says lose the duck. See you later.